Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. With the cost of biopharmaceuticals on the rise, employers are looking to biosimilars as a way to cut costs for themselves and their employees now more than ever. However, because the decision-making power for formularies rests mostly with payers and pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, employers have seen few biosimilars added to their list, despite there being an increase in the number of biosimilar products that are on the U.S. market. We sat down with Cheryl Larson, President and CEO of Midwest Business Group on Health, an employer coalition based in Chicago, Illinois, to discuss the current obstacles employers face in getting biosimilars added to their formularies and what steps they can take to get around them. So, Cheryl, a lot has been said about the savings being left on the table because of failure to adopt biosimilars. Do employers have a viable role in helping biosimilars become assimilated into healthcare?
They absolutely do, and that vital role, for example, our larger and more progressive employers say, I want biosimilars on my formulary. That's the end of it. And their PBMs have to figure that out, or their plans have to figure that out. I know that often PBMs, you want to carve a drug out or add a drug and they're not going to get the maximized benefit of discounts and rebates. The employer's paying for it in the end. So you've got to have the clout to be able to do that. And I know that it's a challenge for mid-sized employers and we've got some recommendations for them. But I think they're going to have to get to a point with more and more biosimilars coming to the market that they're going to have to integrate them into the strategy. We're talking about doing things very differently where we're not giving PBMs and intermediaries the option to make those decisions. We're making them on our own. But we need to learn from each other, peer-to-peer, employer-to-employer, what best practices are going on out there. And if an employer is not part of a coalition, I hope they have a pharmacy benefit consultant or someone advising them about what to do.
Can you describe the current obstacles that payers have imposed that are preventing biosimilars from reaching employees of your member companies?
You know, when they came out, we thought they would be priced more competitively. We thought 20 to 40% maybe. They came out at 10 to 15%. And that was not what we had hoped for. And I think there was disappointment in the marketplace, and it was a mistake by the biosimilar manufacturers. We also know that biologic originator drug manufacturers have kept adding patents to their drug to protect their originator and block biosimilars from entering the market. Some lawsuits going on. It's going to all settle. Hopefully we'll all sing kumbaya and start, you know, figuring things out. And then price negotiating with payers like PBMs that do rely heavily on rebates and discounts to get a drug on formulary. They may want the originator over the biosimilar because a lot of biosimilars don't pay rebates, and that's why they choose the originator drug. We know physician adoption has been slow because they're concerned about interchangeability, efficacy, safety. What if the carrier or the coverage doesn't cover the biosimilar, and then I'm putting the patient in a difficult situation? We know entry into the U.S. market has been slow and very ineffective at lowering prices. We failed to overcome the discounts to the middlemen. So we need to look at the EU's, the European Union's example, where they've been using biosimilars for a long time. And they found and have shared that once a biosimilar was introduced into the market, they saw competition between the biologic and the biosimilar, which lowered the cost of the biologic across the board. So we do recognize that it's easy for a biologic to reduce their costs to that of or below the biosimilar, and that's just part of the risk of what's going on in the market. So we're hoping that competition really helps drive down costs.
What negotiating power do employers have that enables them to wrest some of the power away from payers and middlemen?
So we developed several years ago, but pretty recently, a different way of looking at how to manage drugs by taking some of the power and responsibility away from PBMs, the things that they shouldn't have been doing in the first place. So we have replicated a model that our employer member Caterpillar has been doing for 15 years. They're saving millions of dollars annually. They're decreasing patient out-of-pocket costs and prescription costs for them. And they're doing that first and foremost through contract optimization. And I'll often say, if your PBM won't optimize the contract so that you benefit more than them, maybe that's not the right PBM. But these contract optimization strategies define all contract terms and pricing so that all PBM revenue is transparent and retained by the employer. All relationships are free of conflicts, and you can use any PBM you want. You're agnostic to the PBM. So if your PBM says no, or they're not willing to do some of these things, find another PBM that will. You must have regular audits integrated into the contract so that conditions and terms are met. This model supports fiduciary obligation to act in the best interests of beneficiaries and the employer as the plan sponsor. And then there's formulary customization. So they're not deciding what's on the formulary. We're working with a team of physicians and pharmacists, like Caterpillar does, to make coverage decisions based on clinical efficacy, evidence, lowest net cost, and the clinical value. And then these employers are doing direct contracting with retail pharmacies. And this is unique. You don't need 10 to 15,000 pharmacies across the country. There's a pharmacy within 5 minutes of most people. And if there's not, you add independent pharmacies to that model. And the network is designed to the plan sponsor's needs, not to the intermediary's needs. Again, we're looking at cost plus equals ingredient cost plus the margin, because they need to make a little bit of money, right? It's really important in your contract that you have carve-out rights for specialty and mail order, because a lot of money is made through that. And then finally, because you've got this independent P&T committee who is not making decisions based on rebates but on clinical efficacy, you're saving money there, and they're helping to manage the PA process, which is really important. So, you know, I always tell people the five things: ensure your PBM contract has clear objectives and definitions, collect the money that you're owed. You know, we don't love rebates, but if rebates are on the table, get those rebates, but don't let them drive formulary decisions. Make sure that your contract stays competitive using annual market checks. You have to have those rights in your contract, and also you have to have the right to terminate your contract early if you want. You know, long gone are the days where you had a three-year contract, which is all many PBMs and other players were allowing back then. You need to get a 90-day out clause, or even less than that, if they're not meeting your needs. You need to make sure your contract includes carve-outs. And honestly, we think eventually there might be employers that are contracting directly with pharmaceutical manufacturers. So you might want to have that in there. And then, of course, negotiate directly with retail providers.
Can you discuss some key action steps that employers can take to get biosimilars into health plans?
Sure. So one of the first things, and we talk about this in our biosimilars report, is to get that FDA list of approved biosimilars. And you need to get it to your carrier, your health plan, and the PBM, and say, I want this added to my formulary, and then figure out how to best adopt them. So the report talks about, if a biosimilar is indicated for administration through the medical benefit, you got to talk to your carrier and consider a carve out to the pharmacy benefit to ensure equal management. When biosimilars are indicated for dispensing through the pharmacy, talk to your PBM and make sure proper medication therapy management measures are in place. That is so critical. And then you need to clearly define biosimilars in your contract. You got to also, like you do with other things, make sure that your contract indicates you have 100% pass through of all rebates received and that audit rights are in place. That still applies. There's a number of other things like tracking utilization, the list goes on, make sure you have a link to it, but there's a number of things that employers can do to talk to their stakeholders to manage this. Everything from PA to clinical criteria, even looking at making sure that based on the disease state and the drug, is there a pharmacogenomic test that's part of it? In setting a big one that we don't talk about a lot is kind of a value-based benefit design. If you're going to drive that employee using a biosimilar like you do with a generic, you should incent them through plan design, whether it's reduced or waived copays or changes to coinsurance, something like that. We recommend having biosimilars be the first step if you're a new patient, just like generics first. And so this is going to be a challenge for the marketplace, where employers are going to have to educate themselves, they're going to have to empower themselves to talk to their partners and then encourage their partners to be more innovative in this space.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.